The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Christian Heiter. He is Chief Technical Officer at Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. Good morning, Christian. How are you?
Good morning, John. How are you this morning?
Great, great, great. Kind of go down a different road today. I try to spread out and talk about phones and software development and Microsoft and Red Hat. Today, we're going to talk about storage. And the reason is because there are federal agencies that have to comply with some regulations where they have to store information for more than just a couple of days. And you may think this is kind of a trivial problem. Oh, no. This is not a trivial problem. This is a very serious problem here of storage and retention of records. A couple months back, we had Kevin from Iron Mountain on the air. We talked about, you know, storing records. And I wanted to take and maybe, okay, let's take storing records from a different perspective, maybe talk about optical. And to tell you the truth, Christian, I haven't talked about optical in 10, 15 years. I remember Borders Books 15 years ago asked me to go in and talk about optical storage because it's so new. and all of a sudden, with new becomes old, and it cycles back in. And so that's why I brought you in the studio to talk about, you know, some challenges that my listeners have as far as preserving documents and some options and choices I may want to consider and look at new technology that's out there and maybe can help evaluate it. But before we get in, tell us a little about your background, how you wind up working for Hitachi, please, Christian.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, John. I came to Hitachi, was working for a number of other computer vendors out there, have a background in high-performance computing, real-time system design, large complex design, software, hardware, and looking at the various companies who were out there, Hitachi Data Systems had very high integrity, extremely high-quality equipment, and I really liked the feedback that I was getting from the customer friends that I had, and they enjoyed the systems to the point where they were saying that it was taking a long time for the systems to break and they could let them go longer and longer. And I found that to be very, very attractive.
And you have a master's degree in engineering, so durability is probably important for you.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So. I have two kids that are engineers, and I'll do something with maybe tape, and they'll use two steel bolts. two steel bolts. We over-engineer everything, so that's interesting. So I've been at events like FCA events, and I would see the companies like, Microsoft. Okay, I know what they do. See something like Oracle. Oh, I know what they do. And I've seen Hitachi spot in little tables, and I'd always scratch my head and go, geez, what does Hitachi do? So tell us about Hitachi and how they can help my govies, my federal listeners.
Sure. Well, Hitachi, many people know already from power tools and excavators and bullet trains and escalators. They have a very large company, Hitachi Limited, over 900 companies. But our company, Hitachi Data Systems, and particularly Hitachi Data Systems Federal, is one that's focused on the telecommunications and information technologies, building systems and servers that build solutions that help solve our customer problems.
So let's say I'm working for an agency, and I'll just pick an agency at random. Let's say I work for Commerce. And Department of Commerce. And I'm sitting at my desk drinking coffee. My boss walks in one day and says, we're putting you in charge of storage and making sure these records are preserved for a certain amount of time. I guess this is a problem that a lot of federal government agencies have. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. And the cost of restoring all of this information is increasing very rapidly. The amount of data we have to store is increasing at a phenomenal rate. And the cost for storing it, while it's going up slowly, it's the sheer volume that's causing our budgets, our IT budgets, to really go through the roof. And that's what we need to solve.
And you're an engineer, so you understand numbers much better than I do. But I understand Twitter, and there's 200 million tweets a day. I mean, these numbers are, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have believed that. I mean, these numbers are just inconceivable, aren't they?
It's absolutely amazing.
So we can talk about Twitter, and we can talk about Facebook and storage and everything else. But believe it or not, government agencies can collect large amounts of information as well. You can't tell me that weather information isn't measured in these huge amounts too, hmm?
In fact, they would like to store it for much longer periods.
Yeah.
That way they can do historical analysis, going back previous years, information, what has been changed. Are there climate changes around weather, as you brought up with that example? Images, how has surface topology changed? How has vegetation changed for the Commerce Department? And intelligence community has lots of information, like to be able to see what happened before and now. They'd like to be able to store all that, and that's not cost effective today.
You know, my IQ on a good day is maybe two digits. My wife is way smart. She understands calculus and analysis, and that's the word analysis. And she says, give me more data. I want to be able to understand the trends over a long period of time. And maybe what these folks in the weather service are trying to figure out is, well, if I have more data information, I can see the trends and maybe save lives. And so the whole idea is storing this information so we can put smart people like my wife and maybe you in the catbird seat and say, okay, this is probably what's going to happen.
Sure. If you have better analytics, you can actually predict events much better, much more accurately, and we can help save lives.
So tell me about this Managing Government Record Directive. What's that all about, and who has to worry about that?
Well, many of the agencies do, and the reason why they need to do that is there is information that must be stored in perpetuity, because we want to keep that for historical reasons, and because there's a lot of information in there that we would like to be able to go back and correlate in the future. So now there are these management directives that help each of the agencies understand the processes and procedures necessary so that they can do this effectively.
You know, people in town know me as a computer guy, but the big secret is I have a master's degree in history. And I've spent many years in libraries, and I think it's important to record old documents. And because I've studied history, I know that Washington was burned at one time, and there could have been documents that could have been burned. And so we have to put this in perspective of, hey, you know, maybe in 100 years they want to know why we made decisions about certain things today. And I think it's really important to preserve information for future generations. And let's take a little break and come back. We'll talk more about some of the challenges the agencies have in storing information and some options they have today that they may not even thought of. Instead of looking at the cloud, maybe they should look down in their own server room. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Christian Heiter, Chief Technical Officer at Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Christian Heiter, Chief Technology Officer at Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. If you want to get more information on them, you can write this down. It's hdsfed.com, Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. Not talking about websites, not talking about storing data. Before the break, I did the big unveiling of my background in history, and I have spent much time in archives writing about stuff that happened many years ago. So the federal government has a mandate to several agencies to record certain types of documents. But how long? I mean, how long? Do they have to, a couple of years, a couple of weeks? How long do they have to keep these documents?
Well, some of the documents need to be kept in perpetuity. If we want to have historical documents, things that are important to us as a country, we would like to keep those. If you're a church, you probably want to keep those in perpetuity. In many of the government agencies, we'd like to keep those even for 10, 20, 30 years because we'd like to be able to do analysis against past trends, historical events, what happened before, what happened now. You want to be able to compare audio, video, images. So each agency has different limits on what they would like to store.
Remember the movie Galaxy Quest?
Yes.
And they talked about the TV. Well, we saw your historical documents, and they thought that was TV. When you said historical documents, that's the first thing I flashed on, you know, Galaxy Quest. That was quite a silly movie. Back to something more serious. So, seriously, there are information professionals that are charged with the task of saving stuff for many, many years. And believe me, I'm an old geezer. I've seen everything from no memory to floppy drives, 8-inch floppies, 11-inch floppies, all kinds of hard drives, zip disks. I mean, the technology has changed. Just you blink an eye and there's something new. Now people are talking about cloud storage on hard drives and different types of hard drives. And we could bring in hard drive people and talk about hard drives forever and ever. But we're talking today about optical storage. So what is new is old. What is old is new. Is this kind of a turning? Tell us about optical storage in Hitachi, please.
Well, sure. Well, let's actually come back to the cloud. Eventually, this information put on the cloud has to be stored. And we can't always store it onto magnetic material, whether it's a spinning hard drive or magnetic disks. Some of it needs to be preserved longer. And that's why we've come through and developed this new preservation tier around optical storage so that people can archive cost effectively. What it allows us to do is provide high density using optical media. It allows us to put 1 petabyte of storage in a single rack with only 1 kilowatt of power that's used. So long term, your power consumption goes down, your footprint is very high, and you can now cost effectively store that information so that you can pull it back later on. You've preserved the data. We have 2 different media formats. One is only a 50-year media, and I jokingly say that. The other one is greater than 100 years. That one can survive EMP pulses. That one can survive extended range temperatures because it's used as an inorganic material and becomes a rock-like structure. Well, this technology that we're using, the optical media, is probably the same thing you know and everybody in the radio audience knows about. It's CDs, DVDs, Blu-rays.
Well, everyone should know. They see it in their home every night. Yeah. Right.
This is no special technology that's in here. What we are using is enterprise quality Blu-ray media, and we are working with the media vendors and their roadmaps towards getting much higher density out towards 1 terabyte per disc. And that's still the same format we've been using for 30 years from the same Billy Joel CD that came out in 1982.
Years ago, I was in graduate school, and I remember going to the library, and I'd look up old newspapers through these little machines where you mechanically would scroll through old newspapers. And it was really funky, but it stored and held information for a long time. I have a friend who deals in books. He said, you know what, John, what? Well, in the last 40, 50 years, a lot of the paper in books is acid-based, and in 30 or 40 years, it's all going to be gone. Now, if you have a book from like 1910, it's better quality paper. It's not acid-based. So what you're telling me is the books from like 1910 are going to be around, the books from 1970 aren't? Wow, isn't this interesting from a historian's perspective? And I guess from someone who has to worry about preserving data for 1,000 years, well, I don't want to put it on acid-based paper. I want to have something that's maybe stored and can change. I think the word might be platform agnostic. Is that the phrase that pays?
Sure, that's for the technology. We still have to worry about the formats that are on there. Those we want to try to keep in as agnostic of a format as possible so that we can read them. Your old Word documents from 10, 15 years ago, we also need to worry about how we bring those in and read those again in 10 years. That's all part of the same problem. It's not just storing it. We have to be able to access it in the future.
20 years ago, WordPerfect, of course, was the dominant word processor. And it supplanted WordStar, and it became Word. And so, look, just off the tip of my tongue, different formats and storage.
Exactly.
And so I imagine the ISO must have some kind of standard. Okay, this is a standard way to preserve something on optical media. Is that right?
There are standards for that, but more importantly, there's a more generalized standard around data preservation. And that is, there are 2 ISO standards that actually cover that, and that really documents the process for the archivists of the world. And as time changes, the archivists have more responsibility, greater responsibility, and there are many more that have now the responsibility for preserving all this information. What we're trying to do is provide them with the tools and technologies to make their lives a little bit simpler.
Earlier in the show, I talked about Washington burning, and I was kind of lighthearted about it, but it did burn. And they saved a lot of stuff, but a lot of stuff didn't get saved. And when I drive downtown, I see the National Archives, a big imposing building. But it ain't just the archives, is it? I mean, a lot of different agencies have information that must be preserved. Can you give me an example of a couple agencies maybe that you've worked with?
Well, there's a number of agencies. They include everywhere from medical records, intelligence community, the Department of Defense, in the commercial industry. Think about the aircraft. And people build the Boeings of the world. They build their aircraft. We have to be able to preserve all those technical specifications for many, many years. In the military community, we have medical health records. They need to be preserved for the life of the person plus 7 to 10 years. That's the same thing in the commercial sector. We have to keep that information for a long, long time. Health records, marital status, towns, cities, governments, everybody needs to store all this information for many, many years.
So if you're listening to this interview and everyone's thinking about the spring training with the Nationals, they can get more information by reading a couple articles you've written. You wrote an article about this for Wired, is that right?
That's correct.
What's the name of the article?
I do not remember the name of it.
Yeah, it's probably the editor probably changed it anyway. My experience would be they changed it all around.
Around data preservation.
Yeah, but you can go to Wired, W-I-R-E-D, Wired.com, and type in Hitachi or maybe data preservation and read this article, which really gives a good summary of why optical technology may be a good choice for long-term data preservation.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, I think it was Next. Did you write something for NextGov as well?
NextGov. There was a blog article there. And there's considerable amount of information. We also just held a digital optical preservation forum. That was back in September. And we are looking to do the same thing again, probably in next spring. And the purpose of that is to bring everybody in this community together to have conversations so we know how we can all work effectively together and really make this job, this difficult challenge that's before us here, make this a little bit easier and much more cost effective for everybody in the community.
Well, I just think that's so important to have a forum where you have 15 agencies with 15 different problems. And, well, you know, this is solution A, this is solution B, and what do you think? And what I love is just looking over the room and going, oh, so that guy had the same problem I have. I'm going to shut up and listen to see what mistakes he made.
Right.
Well, I made this mistake. And, well, back in the days of paper tape, do you remember paper tape storage? I sure do.
Yes,
how about mag cards? Mag card storage? And maybe the people at the ISO said, look, we can't go from paper tape to magnetic card to zip drive. We have to have some of a common way to store this. And let's take a look at optical disc. Okay, this seems to be a good way. What's a common way we can preserve stuff on optical? And I think that's what the ISO has tried to do.
Exactly. And part of the getting us all together is to have those conversations, as you mentioned, John. Let's figure out what went wrong, what worked before, what did not work, and let's go move forward, and we can build the next generation of systems to make this a little bit easier.
I was watching a movie over Thanksgiving with my grown kids, and someone, it was an older movie, referred to a zip drive, and my kids looked at me like I was from Mars, and I said, oh, that's how they do data storage back in the day. And they said, oh, Dad, you're out of your mind. No, Iomega Bernoulli box is another way they do it, and they'd say, oh, Dad, now you're really on drugs. That's what they never did. Like, oh, they did. So I think you have to come up with some kind of a way to store this information, and let's take a break. We come back, we'll talk more about Hitachi and some specifications and why this may be a solution that can give you good durability, good survivability, and resist a lot of what about temperature changes? I mean, a lot of different factors here that people don't consider. But I'm guessing that the people in the military maybe have their head screwed on when it comes to endurance and people and things lasting. And maybe they can apply that to their own medical records. Who knows?
They sure do.
You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Christian Heider. He's Chief Technology Officer at Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Christian Heiter. He's the Chief Technology Officer at Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. And if you've been to events and saw Hitachi logo and said, well, geez, what the heck do they do? Well, I think they do everything. One thing they do is they create devices to help federal people preserve documents for a long period of time. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about optical storage. If you are charged with having to store information for your agency and trying to figure out what to use, you may want to go to hdsfed.com and get more information. You know, Christian, a lot of my people, listeners, they read blogs. Is there a blog you guys have there?
Absolutely. Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. We have our own blog off of hdsfed.com and would love to have people come in, provide comments, suggestions, ask questions. Certainly love to have the communication with anybody who's interested in getting more information.
We talked about some silly topics earlier, paper tape storage and hard drives and everything else. And I've certainly written hundreds of articles for major publications about hard drives. And I remember this magic phrase, mean time between failure, MTBF. I always thought that, does that imply failure? Does that mean like it's going to fail? Well, yes, it means you have a hard drive, it's going to fail. It's just, it's not if, it's when, huh?
You know? Exactly.
And if I have 200,000 miles on my car, well, you know, a diesel may last a little bit while, but, you know, it's going to fail. Maybe 260 is what my guess is. And so I think if you're charged with storing things for more than 10 or 15 years, you have to look at papyrus or maybe optical storage. Tell us about optical storage and some of the new technologies out there, please.
Well, most people know about optical technologies. It's CDs, DVDs, and Blu-rays. We all are using those at home, listening to music, watching movies, some older technologies, some newer ones. What's interesting here is that optical technology is still readable if I take my Billy Joel CD from 1982 and put into any any Blu-ray player today, I can still read that same CD. And that's the format that we want to try to capitalize on. Today, we're using Blu-ray formats. That's the current industry standard, commercially available. We have enterprise class storage. And what we want to do is leverage that technology and that format. There's two different types of systems that are out there, two different types of media. One is a commercial grade Blu-ray called BDXL, Blu-ray Drive Extended Life, that has higher capacity, 200 gigabytes per disc right now. There's also another one from a company called M-Disc, and that one has an inorganic material, and that's still using Blu-ray technology, Blu-ray format. It just uses a different material for longer term storage, much higher durability.
So my kids think long term is 2 months. So what is long term storage? Well, how would you define it, and how would my listeners define it?
Well, standard Blu-ray enterprise quality that we're using is a 50-year media. It has durability. We've proven out past 50 years. We have strong confidence it will last that long. We also have the 100-year plus media from M-Disc. They call it millennium-based media, claiming 1,000 years. But that likely could last hundreds of years because it has an inorganic structure.
So that's the key phrase here, organic versus inorganic. And the organic structures will deprecate quicker than inorganic. Is that an assumption to make?
It will, yes. Yes, okay. And that's why we still need to watch out. Everything will fail eventually. Nothing is perfect. Even stone tablets that are out there, eventually the weather does get them. They make them harder to read the glyphs. So we have to be careful and we have to preserve everything. And that's really why we're creating this preservation tier. It's a new term of art. We want to make sure that we have the technologies at the very lowest levels for this data preservation activity.
When I was a young man, I went down to Chichen Itza in Mexico and went to a couple different pyramid sites. And you'd go underground, and it would be 70 degrees instead of 110. And you'd have stone carvings in there, and they were still there. I mean, they weren't subject to the humidity and everything else. And so things can last a long time. When I was thinking about putting this all in perspective of how long things last, so if you look at something like tape, I guess 4 to 5 years, good rule of thumb for tape storage, put something on the shelf, 4 to 5 year storage, about right?
That's typically what people look at for a lifetime.
And so the comparison would be, well, we have it on tape, 4 or 5 years. If we have it on CD, it's going to be how many years? Not CD, but Blu-ray. Blu-ray could be 50 years, and then this technology called Amazon Mary, D-I-S-C, it's 1,000 years?
Could be many hundreds of years.
Years.
That doesn't mean you'll be able to, we have to have the technology to be able to read it, but we can take these disks, we can put them into caves, or we can put them into underground storage, and we have a reasonable chance with the right electronics to still be able to read them.
Yesterday I was in Annapolis, and I was having lunch with an aerospace engineer. And he talked about wiring safety in military aircraft. What a discussion that was. And I said, well, you know, there really has to be an incident before people really have to change and adapt to wire safety in an airplane. He goes, yeah. And I said, I have 3 kids. I don't want an incident. I don't want anything to happen. He said, I don't want anything to happen. But normally with human beings, there has to be an incident before they'll change. Now, if I'm working for you, and you waltz into my office and you say, hey, John, I want you to save these financial records from the IRS. I want you to save these for a guaranteed 50 years, and you better do a good job of it and get by as cheap as you can. And I'll talk to you next week. And that's how people talk. You have to really look at different things and go, well, I'll just put on tape. Probably not going to be a good idea, huh? Probably not going to be. What, put on a hard drive? Put it in the cloud? I mean, the cloud is a bunch of hard drives down the road. I mean, that's not a reasonable storage either. I guess that's what you have to look at. You have to look at optical storage, and then you go to Gartner, I guess, and you look at different options, see who's out there and who's reliable and who isn't. Is that the approach many of your customers have? Is that the logic here?
Absolutely. And let's talk about a compelling event that happened to many people, some of them in your list, in your audience right now. Hurricane Sandy came through. A lot of flooding happened. Salt water got into basements and data centers. And what we really want to do is be able to give them the option to be able to recover that data. A lot of the material, all the data that was stored on magnetic material was lost. Now, because of the flooding and salt water corrosion, they were not able to recover it. With the optical storage, yes, we'll have to pull out each of the disks, we'll have to clean them, but there's a high probability that that data will have survived that submersion in the water, salt water particularly.
I mean, if you think about it, though, I mean, if you have a hard drive in your basement and you get flooded, I mean, we've all seen that happen. I mean, there used to be desktops, people on the floor of their basement, and they have their office down there. You get flooded, and guess what? Sayonara, baby. I mean, that hard drive probably was a good chance. But my guess is that back in the day, you'd have CDs with Microsoft Office on it. You could probably use those again, couldn't you? And load it up on your new hard drive. And so we have one technology for storage that was maybe quicker, but not as long lasting, and the other stuff that was long lasting but not as fast. So, is that the trade off? Access speed versus durability, or what other factors do we have to consider?
Absolutely. Well, when you take a look at the optical disk drives, they are random access. Once you've written it, you can now search to any point on this disk very, very quickly. It's just seeking the head over to that portion of the drive, similar to what we have with magnetic storage. But the technology, the media, is very, very important. And I'll give you a situation from my own life. We tried to recover some data that was on some old CDs and DVDs that I had saved, some old spreadsheets, could not recover them because I had bought the cheap consumer-grade media. When I went to read it back, I couldn't read it. I went back to the safe deposit box. That media had degraded as well. So now I am doing this for my own life, using much higher quality, spending more money on the media to make sure that it does be that it is preserved correctly and that I actually can read my data back later.
I would like to go to Suicide Hotline and see who calls in when a director of information has a hard drive fail and they reach for their tape and they try to back up and they go, it doesn't work. Suicide Hotline. I mean, this is what happens. I mean, with your stuff, I'm sure it was tragic. But what if there's life or death information that the military might have or health information and you reach for the backup and, oh, sorry, that was 6 years ago and this tape's supposed to last 4 years. And then bad things happen. I mean, it's unfortunate, and I certainly want to think about that. But I think humans have to have an – I never thought of Katrina, and here's a test of high technology. Let's see what happens with Katrina. And the unintended consequences are maybe people can learn about archiving data and figuring out what to do. I'm sure the lessons were learned with moving the Declaration of Independence. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, moving it so many times, and how many times can you move data on a hard drive? And I imagine that, let's take a break. We can come back after the break, talk about some of the transitions that happen. Typically, you go from one system to another, another to another, or maybe a new version of a system, and there can be data that's lost in those transitions. And I think that it's one way, if you have a what they call a gold copy, all of a sudden you have a gold copy sitting on a shelf somewhere that isn't subject to all those vagaries of a data transition. So let's take a break, come back, talk more about data transition and storing archival information. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Christian Heider, Chief Technical Officer at Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today is Christian Heiter. He's the Chief Technology Officer at a company called Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. Going down kind of a dogleg right here, talking about optical technology and long-term storage. And what if you are a federal agency and your boss walks into your office and says, well, Mary Jane, you're in charge of preserving this data, and it's got to be around for 50 years, and I'll talk to you in a week. And then what do you do? Well, I don't know. You type in data preservation. I imagine if you go to Wired, you could wind up in an article. What's the name of the article you wrote for Wired?
The name of the article is Data Preservation in the Republic.
There, data preservation, you'd probably stumble on the Wired article. And this guy here wrote the article. Christian wrote it. So we've got the Ben Franklin of data storage right here. And we've been talking about many aspects of data storage. I've done a lot of radio and television in town, a lot of public speaking. My last public speaking event, the hardest part was the transition because I would give Joe Blow 5 minutes and then he'd want to go for 8 minutes. I'd give Pete Fenorke 15 minutes. He'd want to go for 18 minutes. And so what I had to do, I had to physically get up on the podium and put my arm on this guy and push him off the lectern because he wouldn't shut up. So transitions are always difficult in public speaking. But in data processing, transitions are tough too, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're called migrations in the data space. And the migration event can be catastrophic. If you're trying to go from one technology to the next, or even to the next generation of the technology, there's always the possibility of losing data. It could be a human error, it could be a computer error, it could be a technology issue that comes up. We've lost data because you've got bad sectors on the tape or disk or or even some of your old iOmega drives that you were talking about before, the zip drives. You do lose data on here. We're trying to keep the migrations rapid enough that you minimize the amount of data that is lost.
Yeah. And I think there's technologies you have where the technology is never physically touched. It resides one where it's transitioned to some type of a cache, and the cache is accessed rather than the technology itself. All of a sudden, you're not touching it, so it can't really get hurt, can it?
That's right. And you try to minimize the number of touches on there. In our technology, we spoke about the media. Well, in our library, the mechanics, it never touches the disk itself, only the edges. We push the disks in. We remove them out through the spindle hole in the middle. We never touch the media itself. And on the edges in the cartridges, very, very slight fins in there that hold it in so that the media never touches. We really have to think about the whole process, the media, the technology, all the electronics, make sure it has enterprise quality all the way through, and we've thought through all the various steps with handling the media.
Well, Kristen, we're here in Washington, D.C. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a president. Teddy Roosevelt once said to speak softly and carry a big stick. And we notice you speak very softly. You're a soft-spoken man. And some people are going, I wonder if he's really a nerd or not. I don't know, you know. And so what I've designed is a scientific 10-question test. And we're going to find out if, in fact, you're a card-carrying nerd, soft-spoken or loud.
Oh, boy.
And so here we go. First question is, so I break into your house this evening. How many old-school desktops do I find?
Far too many that my wife will get mad at me about.
Oh, that's weak nerd points. Yeah, yes. That's not good. That's good. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
Not nerd points here at all. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do not. No.
Do you have a personal blog?
I do not. I have one in my company.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have the Android, the Galaxy
S5. That's interesting. And what's the most popular app on that in the last 30 days you've used?
Probably Google Maps.
Google Maps. Okay, that's simple. And break into your house tonight, how many tablet devices do we find?
Oh, it's probably four or five.
Nerd. All of a sudden, you're going up in the nerdometer here, okay?
The whole family, I think we're all the same.
And when was your most recent post in social networking sites?
I do not post on social networking.
You're sinking.
Only
you're sinking.
The company.
Okay. So do you have any mobile fitness device on your person right now? Any mobile fitness Fitbit or something?
I do not.
Okay. Final question. The last book you read was electronic or paper?
Electronic.
Well, you're right in the middle there. I have to put this through my computer in my basement and print out the report on Green Bar, and I'll put it in the U.S. mail. Oh, no, I'll back it up to my zip disk first.
There you go.
I'll send you the zip disk. I'll send you the zip disk, and you can find out what it's all about. You know, I've seen so much technology over the years, I can joke about it. 8-inch floppy drives with a Videc. Mm-hmm. I remember so many different products. So what is going to happen in the next 10, 15 years? I mean, these products are all going to change. Is the ISO standard going to be the one that people are going to hold to? New standards going to come out? Well, where do you see Hitachi responding to the needs of my listeners, the federal governments that have to archive stuff?
Well, there's multiple areas. Our analytics are changing. We have far more data that's out there. What we need to do is be smarter about how much data we store. We all would like to store more information, whether it's personal information or professional or for our jobs. We want to be able to have that information available to us so that we can go back and look at older information and look for trends and changes. The technology has to keep up with that. And even in the optical storage, we will follow the continued trend of Blu-ray, and the archive disk is the next generation that Sony and Panasonic are working. We make sure we have the transitions to that. We need different types of storage, flash storage, be faster, allow better access to it. And in the future, over back on optical, we will have holographic storage. And that technology is coming out of our labs, and that's what we'd like to bring to the market so that we have the ability to store data longer term with faster access and with much higher bit density at a much lower cost.
Over the summer, I presented for an hour to a group about disaster recovery, and I talked about mirror sites, and you have one site here, and you have a mirror site over there, and it inevitably boiled down to is that we know the best practice, John, but we can't afford to have a mirrored site in Leesburg for our stuff downtown. You know, there's a budget limitation where a budget's getting crushed, and so if I'm working for you, and you storm into my office and punch the desk and go, I just want you to store everything, John— I turn to you and go, well, Christian, I want to store everything too, but there's this little thing called the budget. I mean, and so where's the pushback here? At what point do you store everything, or would you select what to store, or certain documents, or where's the budget fit with all this?
Right, and everybody has their own policies,
yeah,
whether it's by age,
right,
by access time.
Oh, it's no.
It has to work differently for everybody. And there's probably no one right answer for anybody. And in fact, even in a corporation, the answer may change depending on the management and the infrastructure that's available.
And if the board of directors has a bunch of lawyers on there, all of a sudden they may be much more interested in compliance and worrying about preserving records for potential lawsuits, I guess. And if you have a board of directors that is really hungry, wants to make money, they go, who cares? We want to get the next customer. But there's got to be a balance. And it's interesting that so many different agencies are like, you know, 20 agencies, 20 companies. They're going to be different priorities, different initiatives. And I would imagine the human beings that run these agencies, there's got to be some variations as well as what they deem important, deem not important.
Right. And there's multiple pieces to that. Yes, you could talk about the storage at the lowest levels, but now you have to take a look at things like virtualization. Let's use the technology that's out there. It's available. People know about server virtualization with the VMwares that have been quite popular, quite prevalent. But now let's take a look at storage virtualization. There's network virtualization. So now the problem that you brought up, John, around data recovery and disaster recoveries, multiple site replication. Now let's be smarter about how we do it. If we have storage virtualization, don't throw away all your old disks. Let's go virtualize it. Let's use it. Let's be efficient with the dollars that you have already spent. Let's use that technology and then in the future migrate to it as you need faster disks, more storage.
I don't want to talk about four-letter words. I want to talk about three-letter words. And the three-letter word is IoT, Internet of Things. 800 million smartphones have been sold in the last year. We know that. You know, there are billions of devices going to have IP addresses here soon. And I don't think it's going to be a matter of putting stuff. It's going to be, you're just awash with data. And how much data can you handle? And you talked about this word earlier, zettabytes, yottabyte, exabyte. What? I'm lost. You have to really consider options for storage and what to store and how to store it. I think with all this information, the next question is how to make sense of it with data visualization. And oh, by the way, what do we keep? What do we throw away?
Right. Well, take a look at the question you asked before with your nerdometer. One of the questions was how much data are you storing from your own device? Are you wearing a health monitor? Well, even that data coming in, it may not be very large for each of the packets of information coming in, but over the course of the day, how many hundreds or thousands of packets have you saved, those events from the life of the day, so that you can go back and look at the end of the day? How many times was I over my threshold that I have set? How many times was my heart rate too high or too low? Oh my goodness, now I have to go do my exercise. At some point, we have to make decisions about when we store that data, how long we store it, how long we want to go back, and we have difficult decisions to make all the time. In the federal government, we have very similar problems. Sometimes it's small amounts of data. Sometimes we look at images and videos that we would like to preserve. It becomes more difficult because each one of those files, each one of those objects consumes far more, and it becomes very, very expensive. So we have some difficult decisions to make.
Lots of tough choices, and the choice I have to make is to end the conversation because we're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Christian Heider, Chief Technology Officer at Hitachi Data Systems Federal Corporation. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.